decent segue into our sermon today about spiritual tests. So I encourage you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Today I want to talk about tests. And when I say the word tests, it might be something you're like, oh, that's really cool, I really enjoyed those, but you'd probably be one of the rare people who enjoyed those tests. Now, in my childhood, I'm the generation, I think, that had the privilege of getting started in standardized testing. And I'm the generation that had all those experiments done on them to say, okay, we're going to give every single child a test every single year of their school year to see where they're at and where they sit in the country. And tests can be very anxiety-inducing, very stressful, very frustrating for some people. But tests can be very important as well. Usually we have some sort of test as a time of transition, like right before we're ready to move to the next step. You know, usually it's at the end of a school year. We have a test to see where we have been as far as our education goes. Or a test to be allowed into a new institution like a college or a master's program. Various tests can be used usually at times of transition, but these tests all share one thing pretty much in common, which is to assess where we sit in one thing or another. Maybe you're testing for your electrician's license, or you're testing to become a master welder, or you're testing to be admitted into a certain kind of education program. These tests are designed to assess, are you ready? Do you have the foundation? Have you done the necessary work? Have you been successful? And with all the things that could come of a positive test or a negative test in that, comes strain, anxiety, and difficulty. But ultimately, these tests are very necessary. Now, I'm not going to give a commentary on the necessity of the SATs or ACTs or GREs or any of those other things that end with an E. But there is one test all of us have yet to take. One test that is looming in your future. At some point, we will all be faced with this final test. And this is far more important than the SATs, far more important than the master electrician test, far more important than any certification you ever had in your work. This is the test of Judgment Day. It's a test evaluating or proving our worthiness to get into heaven, basically. More than a college destination, it is your eternal destination. And there's only one thing that makes you worthy. It's a true or false single question test. True or false, I have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, I do believe the Bible teaches, and I can't very clearly explain it right now, but I do believe there are variables of blessings and gratitude God will have for those in heaven, but I'd rather be in the shack on the side of heaven than in the mansion in hell. I don't know exactly how it all aligns and what our actions, how they work out in heaven. I'll let God deal with that. But I do know that whether you get into heaven, it's a true or false question. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Either you have your sins and they must be paid for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Or you've been washed in the blood of Christ, for the free gift of Jesus Christ is eternal life, Romans 6:23. True or false, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, this test is a serious test. I say it with some jokes and some humor, but this is a serious test. There's no more serious thing we could talk about than this test that is in your future. It's in my future. It's in all their futures too. But today I don't want to just focus on that test. I actually want to focus on what I'm calling the pre-test. Imagine if you were given a study guide for this test. So having just finished my finals not that long ago, I have found that the graduate program I'm part of really wants me to succeed, right? They want me to have knowledge, but they also don't want me to fail. So they will give you a study guide. And depending on the professor's kindness, will depend on how long that study guide is. But there's nothing on the final that's not on the study guide. A lot of times there's a lot of extra things on the study guide that's not on the final, but if you know the study guide, you're going to get an A on the final. Well, Paul has given us our spiritual study guide, a pretest that we are obligated to take before we get to the real test, the one that truly, truly matters. And so Paul calls us to participate in this pretest. And he describes it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Now, as Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, he's got a couple things going on in his mind. He's got a large gift he's expecting to collect from these Corinthians, and he's going to send it on to Jerusalem. But he's also got some problems he needs to adjust within the church in Corinth. You see, Paul has had some hard things to say to the church, and he's written a pretty rough letter to them. And he's heard that there's been some difficulty in receiving that letter. But what's more, he's also heard that many of the Christians are starting to doubt him as an apostle. They're starting to doubt him. Is he really all that he claims to be? Or is he really as big and tough as we remember him? And they've been led astray by some of these false teachers, these men who call themselves super apostles. And you know they're good teachers because they demand that you pay for them. Amongst other things, these men are trying to discredit Paul. And so in the letter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is frequently having to defend himself and his apostleship. And at one point he says, even if I'm not an apostle to anyone else, I'm an apostle to you because I converted you. You can see the frustration in Paul's writing in this letter. And so he's constantly defending himself. And he feels, I'm sure, as though he himself has been under this unfair test, this unfair scrutiny. In fact, it reminds me of a passage in 1 Corinthians that he writes. In chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, he says, "But to me it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you," he says, "or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord." What he's saying is, it really doesn't matter to me in ministry. That's what he's dealing with, is being a good steward of ministry there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, in ministry, it doesn't really matter to me if you like what I do or if you agree with it or if you judged me. He says, in fact, it doesn't even matter if I feel like I'm doing a good job, because even though my conscience says I'm good, that doesn't matter. What truly matters in judgment is what God thinks of my ministry. And so this verse stuck out to me as I was thinking about Paul and his judgment and his feelings about these Christians and how they must be looking at him. And as he writes in 2 Corinthians, you see this situation described of people pointing fingers at one another and say, "Well, I'm better than that person. Well, I'm better than that person." And this is the result of man-made judgments. When we start assessing things from humans' perspective, when we start looking at things of a successful ministry or a favorite teacher or whether or not I'm a good Christian or whether or not I'm a big part of the congregation, when we analyze those questions from the world's perspective, we end up pointing fingers at one another, saying things like, "Well, I'm not as bad as that person. Well, I'm better than so-and-so." And we start trying to find problems in other people's lives. You start looking at other people and say, "Well, you know, I may not be perfect, but that person, oh my goodness, they're real bad." And I think this is a problem going on in Corinth. They start judging by man's standards and accusing one another, not to mention their teachers. And this can, of course, lead to divisions and splits, but also immaturity in the faith. And so in Paul's closing thoughts of this letter, he says, test yourselves. Give yourself this spiritual test. Evaluate yourself. Don't worry about the others. And what we see in this test is that there's really two things we need to see. We need to understand the test, but also understand the metrics or the measurement of success in this test. And so in the first half of the verse, he says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. I want you to notice something about this. This is a command. This is a command. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. It's not up for debate. This isn't something you say, well, I'll do that next year. You see, as we transition to a new year, it's a great opportunity to feel fresh, right? Lots of fresh snow out there, to feel invigorated with the cold. Really, it's fairly benign. It's just the way we measure things. I sent a text message to my friend the other day, just being kind of jokative with him. I said, congratulations, bro. And I just left it at that. A few minutes later, he sends me this question mark. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, you made around the sun a whole time and you didn't die. Good job. Good luck on this next one. And that's really all our calendar year marks. Just another time around the sun. We're dead middle of the cold season. Okay. But because as humans, we like to think of things as times of change and seasons and opportunities to start fresh, the new year is a perfect opportunity for us to say, I'm going to recommit, or I'm going to relook at this. And recommitment to the Lord has to start with an analysis of where am I right now. And so Paul says, you are obligated to test yourself, to examine yourself. And notice, he says, examine yourself. It's not something that someone else can do. In fact, this also means you can't be doing this examination on somebody else. The fact of the matter is, no one knows if you're going to heaven or hell other than you. No one knows if you're going to heaven or hell other than you. And the Lord, of course. But you could be duping all of us. Only you know if inside your heart you are committed to the Lord. If you truly would pass this test. You could be pretending, saying all the right things, doing all the right things. In fact, who is reading this letter? A bunch of people committed to being at a congregation of Christians. People who will read this letter are people who say, I'm a Christian. I'm doing the right things. And Paul says, you need to examine yourself. You need to test yourself. And this idea of testing is a sense of checking out something for its validity. It's almost like the word test and the word examine are a little bit different here. The word test is kind of like trying something out. Is this the right tool for the job? Whereas examination is kind of like putting something under pressure to see if it's going to hold up. That's the word that they often would use for metal that you melt or heat up really hot to see if it's truly pure gold or pure silver. And so he says you need to put yourself under the examination. You need to see whether or not you are proven true. Well, what is the test? Well, he says right here, do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you. And that's the metric he's going to get to. But he wants us to test something first. He says, test to see if you are in the faith. Now, I want you to notice here, he doesn't say, test yourself if you have faith. He doesn't say, test yourself if you have belief. He doesn't say, test yourself if you have good attendance. He doesn't say, test yourself if you're nice to people. Test yourself if you're in the faith. In the faith. Are you really a part of this thing we call our faith? The way we would actually ask this in modern day, this isn't really a first century question, but this is a 21st century Christian. Are you really a Christian? Are you really a Christian? That's what this question is. That's the test. And like I said, you're the only one who can truly tell the results. We can look at the fruit and say, oh, okay, that person probably is a brother or sister in Christ because of all the fruit. Or that person probably is not a brother or sister in Christ because of a lack of the results in their life. But a person's salvation is bound up in their true false answer to that question, right? I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Only you know that. Are you in the faith? Have you been obedient to God's word to be in the faith? Well, we need to understand, what is the metric for this test? And what we see here is that it's something that is recognizable. He says something you should be able to see in yourself. And I think about it with like all kinds of different science tests you can do, especially chemistry tests, where you take those little chemical strips and you dip them in something, and it'll tell you the pH level of whatever chemical you're messing around with, or the acidity level, right? And so it'll change a certain color, and you should be able to dip it in the fluid and see, oh, that's pink, that's really severe, or that's really mild, whatever the test is, right? It's something you should be able to recognize. And what he says here, he says, you should recognize this about yourselves. So something you should see in yourself. Are you in the faith? It's something you should see in yourself. What is that metric? It's Jesus in you. Do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Jesus inside you. This isn't a literal geographic location of our Lord. I liked one comedian when he said, Jesus isn't sitting in your blood or in your heart watching blood go by. For some of you, because you're in shape, right? Low BPM, right? That's not a physical location of Jesus. This is a spiritual location of Jesus. Jesus in you. That's the metric of success in this test. That's how you can tell if you are in the faith. So what does it mean that Jesus is in you? Well, let me tell you what it's not. It's not a touchy-feeling, emotional perception. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say you need to sit there in a quiet place in your house and just be still and know that Jesus is inside you. You won't find that Bible verse. It's not about how you feel about Jesus. It's not whether you like Jesus. It's not if you want to be his friend. It's not even if you go to church or do all these things on some list that you've made up in your mind. Jesus inside you is the character of Jesus inside you. Here's the test. Here's how you know if you're in the faith. When you look back at your life, have I been Jesus this past year? Have I been Jesus this past week? Is Jesus inside me? When I think about decisions, whether I should go to the family reunion, or whether I should buy that new car, or whether I should even go to worship, do I make decisions like Jesus would make them? Is Jesus inside me? Now, how can you know if Jesus is inside you if you don't even know the character of Jesus? If you aren't spending time getting to know our Lord by reading the Gospels and seeing how he acted here on earth, by looking at the letters of his apostles describing his character and what the end results of living like him should look like, that's part of having Jesus inside of us, but it goes beyond just knowing those things. We have to live those things. And so that's the test. Is Jesus in you? Not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but a reality of his character exhibited in your day-to-day actions. And so this is what's so cool about this being the start of a new year. You go back and you look on the scale of 2021, did I make decisions like Jesus? On the scale of all the major things I had to do, did I make decisions as if he were living my life? But I want you to think more closely to this past week. On Monday, was I making decisions like Jesus? On Tuesday, did I treat that person like Jesus would have treated them? On Wednesday, was I where Jesus would have been? On Thursday, did I treat that customer or that guest or that neighbor the way Jesus would have treated them? On Sunday, am I where Jesus would be? Am I doing with my money what Jesus would do? Am I treating my brothers the way Jesus would treat them? And here's the crux of it. This is a test that can be failed. He says, Jesus is in you unless you fail the test. Jesus is in you except when he isn't. You can be unapproved is the word he uses here. Or the Hebrews author uses this word to describe Christians who are useless. Now let me describe to you what a Christian is who doesn't have Jesus in them. And I use that term Christian very loosely because I don't believe you're a Christian if Jesus is in you, but let's just use it the way the world uses it for just a moment. I'm a Christian, but Jesus isn't in me. I don't think like Jesus. I don't act like Jesus. I don't treat others the way Jesus would treat. I don't use my things the way Jesus would use them. You are unapproved. You fail the test. You're useless. You're a hypocrite. How would you like to come up to that final test and God say, you wore my name your whole life, but you're mostly useless to me? The Hebrews author says that's a horrible thing to have happen. He uses that illustration of rain that falls on land, and instead of building up great plants and of great value, it instead sprouts thistles and thorns. And he says it's next to useless. It's ready to be burned. That's why he uses that word. This is a test we can fail. But there's some good news about this test, this study guide. This is what I want you to take away from here. Because that's kind of a downer note to think about the last thing. Oh, Jesus is in me, except for when he's not. Gabe just really laid it on thick there at the end. But here's where this is important to remember. This is a pretest. This is the pretest to the real test. You see, when I was joining the army, I couldn't join until I was 17 years old. So when I was 16 and some change, I was in the recruiter's office, and they had me take the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. Mostly, we know it as the ASVAB test. And I took a practice test to see about where I scored, because he had a job in mind, but if I didn't score high enough, he had a different job in mind for Gabe. And I took a pretest. And I did well on it. But it didn't matter how well I did on that pretest. In fact, it wouldn't have mattered if I'd done poorly on the pretest. It's just an indication of where I am right then. And I can go study if I need to. I can go make improvements if I need to. But then, on December 3rd, 2003, I took the test. In a room with probably three or four other guys, I was in that room taking the ASVAB. And that was the test that mattered. That was the test that determined my career in the Army. You can take all the practice tests before the SAT, before the GRE, before all the other tests you might take in your life, but it's that final test that actually matters. And unfortunately, some tests they let you retake. This test we're talking about today, it matters. It really matters. But it doesn't matter as much as the final. The final is the one that really matters. And so you could do really well on this test and still fail the final. Don't be that person. Peter says it would be better not to even have taken any of the tests at all. But what's better and what's more encouraging is you could be someone who says, I haven't done very well on that test. As I think about this last week or this last year, I haven't really been Jesus in my life. Not as well as I know I should be. Hey, it's a litmus test. It's a test for where you are right now. Praise God that you have another year, at least today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the rest of the year, maybe decades to come. You have more time to do better on this pretest. Because this is commanded. Take this test. Examine yourself. Continually review yourself. Don't be worried about your brother or sister in Christ in the church congregation. I mean, there's times and places to correct people that are erring in sin. But for the most part, you don't need to worry about their test. Keep your eyes on your own paper. But take the test. See where you are. If you haven't been doing that well, then be encouraged because you have time to grow better. You have time to get to know Jesus better so that you can act more like Jesus this next year. But what if you've been doing a great job? Just remember, this isn't the final. Keep doing a great job. Get better at doing a great job. The final is coming. We don't know if it's today. The Lord might return and put us down for the examination. True or false, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Well, he's got a few extra questions he's going to ask us too. With all those things I gave you, were you Jesus to Estes Park? Were you Jesus to the church congregation and the Church of Christ? Were you Jesus to the people at Safeway? To the crazy drivers that stop in the middle of the road looking at the elk, were you Jesus to them? Or did you try and run them off the road? Were you Jesus at all the opportunities I gave you? Test yourselves, examine yourselves, and grow and be better this next year. I hope that this can be encouraging to us as we strive to do better in 2022 than we did in 2021. And don't think that means you did poorly in 2021. It just means you can do better. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, excel still more. So do better this year. Let's all stand and sing.